Welcome to another episode of the PFF College Football Show. Max Chadwick alongside Dalton Wasserman here. So obviously last week was the 2025 NFL Scouting Combine. Dalton and I were in attendance for that. So of course what we got to give you guys right now is a post-combine two-round NFL mocker. The first two-rounder that we're doing here on this channel. And of course it's a little bit delayed because Dalton was down there partying in New Orleans for Mardi Gras. So before we get going on this, Dalton, just kind of give me a breakdown of all that went on in New Orleans.
Oh, everything. It's the best food town on the planet. It's the best drink town on the planet. They got parades left and right all day, every day. And then obviously the final party on Fat Tuesday is the climax of it. It's just the entire thing. It's fantastic. It's maybe my favorite place to be.
Yeah. So I've never been to New Orleans, but I've always wanted to go. So we got to make that happen at some point. But yeah, we got Donnie in the chat right now. Hopefully we get some more in the chat. And we're going to a two-round mock draft on, and not going to do odds and evens for this. We're going to split it up AFC and NFC because there are some teams that, you know, one team picks number one overall or maybe number two, and then they have an odds pick later on too. So it's a little weird for both teams. So what we're going to do is split up AFC and NFC. I'm going to take the AFC. You're going to take the NFC in this mock draft. Of course, what you see right there on your screen is the PFF mock draft simulator, which is available to you guys at subscribe.pff.com. You could draft one round, two rounds like we're doing today, three rounds, a full seven rounds if you want to do it for your favorite team or all 32 NFL teams. As you can see on the screen as well, you could trade players and picks with the PFF mock draft simulator as well. So again, get it at subscribe.pff.com today, the best mock draft simulator on the planet. All right, Dalton, like I said, I have the AFC teams in this mock draft, and it's what we think is going to happen. No longer what we would do as the general managers, because we, of course, were in Indianapolis. We heard a lot of rumors around a lot of these teams. So what we think is going to happen in the NFL draft. We're not going to do trades in this mock draft, but I do want to put out there right now, I think Tennessee's open for business at number one overall. In fact, there's actually on DraftKings Sportsbook, the Titans and the Giants have the same odds to pick number one overall in the draft, which is crazy considering the Giants have the third overall pick and the Titans have the first overall pick, and yet they think there's an equal chance that both one of those two teams will be picking the top. So I think there's a chance that the Giants will trade up to number one. I'm going to stick at one, though, because we're not doing trades. I'm going to take Cam Ward to the Titans. I think, at least from what I've talked to for most people, he sounds like the consensus QB1. Now, the Titans might think differently. You and I think differently. We both have Shador Sanders QB1. The Titans, though, Brian Callen even said in his press conference that, you know, he looks for timing, decision-making, and accuracy in quarterbacks. That kind of fits Shador Sanders to a T. So what we did in the mock draft yesterday with Trevor Sikkema, if you want to check it out on the PFF NFL show, I traded down from 1 to 3, had the Giants taking Cam Ward. Trevor had Abdul Carter going to the Browns, and I had the Titans taking Shador Sanders. So if the Titans could add another top 100 pick, because they only have two top 100 picks right now, that might be an ideal situation if they still get their guy trading down to number 3 overall. But in this situation, I think they'll probably go with Cam Ward, because I just don't know if they do have Shador Sanders QB1. So I'm going to go with Cam Ward and the Titans.
I think it's an interesting situation when you talk about the trade, because how far down are they going to want to move, right? Moving down to 3, let's say they don't want either of the quarterbacks, right? And they signed a veteran option. They still want, say, Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. Trading down to 3 keeps them in position to do that. If they were to trade down, say, to maybe 6 or 7, because the Jets have also at least been loosely rumored to be checking in on that number one pick, you're probably going to miss out on Hunter and Carter at that 7th pick, and then you're looking at somebody else, maybe a Mason Graham, maybe an offensive lineman, an Armon Membu, somebody like that. So I think it depends how far down they would want to move and what their opinion of the quarterbacks is, and maybe even what the Browns do here at 2 and what the Titans perceive as what their plan is going to be.
Absolutely. So it's a little weird. I actually have another pick right here at number 2, because it's the Cleveland Browns, another AFC team. So I'm going to go – I don't think they'll take Shador Sanders. There's a lot of reports saying that the Browns are going to take a quarterback in this draft. Again, I just don't know if they like Shador Sanders that much. So I think they're in on Cam Ward if he's there. If he's not there, I don't think they'll go with him. I'm going to go with Abdul Carter at number 2 to the Browns. I think he obviously would fit a big need if they trade away Myles Garrett. And Myles Garrett, of course, requested a trade, so it sounds like that will happen. I don't know if he'll ever play again for the Cleveland Browns. So you lose one of the best pass rushers in the league and you get the best pass rusher in the draft in Abdur Carter. I think this is probably the most likely scenario if Cam Ward is indeed the number one overall pick.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, this is under the assumption then that they're going to eventually crack and trade Myles Garrett. Is that what we're doing? Or are we going to pair him with Garrett?
I think they would trade him. I don't think he's playing for the Browns again.
Okay. That's the curious part for me is, okay, you know, and that plays a factor for the Browns here in these trade talks is, will they get a first round, or how many first round picks could they get for Garrett? Say, I don't know, I think about a team like the Commanders at 29. Could we get to a scenario on draft night where we see them picking twice on Thursday night because of a Myles Garrett trade? So you end up with Carter and maybe something that could help you later on offense.
Definitely. Donnie's even pointing out in the chat right now, Max has 6 of the top 7 picks. So I bamboozled you here, Don. I took the AFC team so I could pick at the top of the draft, but this is actually the one pick you have in the top 7 where you could actually make a selection.
Well, and then I get 5 in a row after that. So I'll get busy here eventually, don't worry. It's not just Max's show. Look, I think the Giants, look, you mentioned the trade-up possibilities with Tennessee, or if they're staying at 3 or moving up one spot or however they're going to do it, they're going to take a quarterback,
yep.
Right? And the next best quarterback on the board here is Shedeur Sanders. I just think the urgency of the Giants organization to find a young passer that can get the ball to Malik Nabers and just functionally run their offense. Now, they do need still to improve the pass protection. I would like to see them even get better at the running back position later in this draft. They need some help in their secondary, but nothing's going to happen for them until they get a stable quarterback situation going. I think Shedeur Sanders kind of defines at least stability, even if he doesn't have the top-end Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen traits. He's very accurate. He's going to throw the ball on time. He doesn't turn the football over. And that higher floor, starting your offense with Shedeur Sanders and Malik Nabers, that's a pretty good way to do it, I think, as long as the offensive line is healthy.
I'm with you. I mean, we've seen a lot of stuff with Shedeur linking him to the Giants. Obviously, wearing the Giants or had the Giants cleats in his locker room, at least throwing passes to Malik Nabers in the New York City streets. Him and Brian Daboll sharing the dap heard around the world at the Shrine Bowl as well. Yeah, I think the Giants would be interested in Shedeur Sanders at number 3 overall. This is a fascinating pick, Dawn, at number 4 overall, because I think there's multiple ways that the Patriots can go. They could take the top player on the board in Travis Hunter. They could take Tedrell McMillan. They could take an offensive lineman. I think there's a number of ways they would go. I know where I would personally do. I would personally take Travis Hunter and not think twice about it from the Patriots. However, I don't think they're going to do that. I'm probably going to go with Will Campbell here, the tackle from LSU. Now, it's weird because obviously he's got very short arms and a very short wingspan as well. I believe he actually has the shortest wingspan of any offensive lineman since the last 20 years or so. So there's questions about whether or not he can play tackle, but the Patriots could still use help on the interior offensive line as well, so he can play guard for them. I would also, you know, give Will Campbell a shot at tackle. So I think it's still possible the Patriots take an offensive lineman at number 4 overall. And also Will Campbell, outside of their measurements, he had one of the best combines there. I mean, he was fantastic at the combine and how athletic he was, and actually was more athletic than I thought he was going to be at the combine. So I'll go with Will Campbell here because I think that Mike Vrabel is going to prioritize protecting Drake May. So I'll go with him here, but I think there's a number of ways they can go here.
Two big things I think hang over this pick, and I know they need a ton of players at a lot of different spots, especially on offense, but one, they're very much rumored to be in the Ronnie Stanley sweepstakes,
right,
free agency, which could solve their left tackle problem at least for a couple years. Two, we have to wonder if this is a team that's going to be in on DK Metcalf with him requesting a trade out of Seattle. They need that type of X receiver who can work vertically and help Drake May get open down the field. So I think there's still a lot to be determined with the Patriots having, I believe, the most cap space in the league, plus some big names that they're after: Ronnie Stanley, DK Metcalf. If for any reason the Bengals can't get a long-term deal done with T. Higgins, I'm sure they're going to check in on that. They're going to be in on every weapon and every offensive lineman possible. And even if they sign some of those guys, they could still be in on any of those guys that you mentioned. So New England, a lot to work on with their offense to build around Drake May.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, number 5 overall. Again, I'm up here with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'll go with Travis Hunter. I think this is the number 1 player on their big board. I think he's a guy that they're probably praying falls to number 5 overall. I think he's such a, you know, fantastic player. He could help out at corner for them, which is a big need. He could help out at wide receiver, be kind of their number 2 weapon, maybe behind Brian Thomas Jr. I think, I think Travis Hunter is the perfect player for Jacksonville. And I think Liam Cohen, obviously, one of his top priorities in Jacksonville is to help make Trevor Lawrence the quarterback we thought he was going to be coming out of Clemson. And you do that in with by getting him Travis Hunter while also fixing one of your biggest needs, probably the big one of the biggest needs on the defense at corner as well. So, like I said, I think Travis Hunter is probably the number one overall player on Jacksonville's big board. I do not see him falling past number five.
I think the fun part is you sit there and look at both sides of their team and you go, okay, man, it would really be fun to have somebody to pair with Brian Thomas Jr., right? You look at the other side at corner, they do have Tyson Campbell, who in the past has been really good. This past year, just I don't think it was coached very well. The whole operation was a mess. But you look at their cornerback spot and you go, man, it'd be really fun to have someone to pair with Tyson Campbell. And Travis Hunter's the guy who could potentially fill both of those roles, at least to some degree. But I think it does make them a lot better. It fills potentially two needs with one player, and they can address the offensive line later in the draft, especially on day two.
Love it. Number six overall, the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm going to go with a pick that you've been doing a lot, Dalton, and that is Ashton Jeanty to the Raiders. I think, obviously, they had the lowest rushing grade in the NFL this past year. They talk about – I remember at the combine, they were talking about, you know, how – what they look for in running back. John Spicek was talking about what he looks for in running backs, and he said, obviously, you know, if there's a guy, you're going to want to get that kind of guy. Ashton Jeanty is one of those guys. I think he's on the level of Bijan Robinson and Saquon Barkley as a prospect, and I think Jeanty going in the top 10 makes a lot of sense now, and I think he's a guy that I would probably have as a number two overall player on my big board. I think he's the second best football player in this draft. He obviously had an all-time year for Boise State. And, you know, they need a quarterback, obviously, but you have a really good – you have a pretty good offensive line in Las Vegas. You got Brock Bowers. You got Jacoby Myers. You got Ashton Jeanty. That's a really good supporting environment for whoever comes in at quarterback. So I think Ashton Jeanty at number six overall is a pick that I think might actually happen on draft night.
And I think that's going to be, you know, one of the processes here for the Raiders is going to be getting a veteran quarterback, be it a Sam Darnold or a Russell Wilson or whoever that may be. And – biding their time to kind of fix the rest of their team, right? The running back situation in this draft, their defense, their secondary especially is somewhere I expect them to spend money, being on the bigger name free agents, maybe a DJ Reed from the Jets at corner, being on a pretty decent safety market, maybe Javon Holland. They got one big name Dolphin and Christian Wilkins last year. Maybe it's Javon Holland this year. So I expect them probably to come out of this free agency period with at least one veteran quarterback, possibly a starter, especially that we don't know what their situation could be in the draft. If they're a trade-up team, if both quarterbacks would go before their spot like they did in the top three here. So I think Jeanty's a nice safe pick for him behind a good offensive line and a passing game that has some potential eventually if they get a quarterback in there.
So my final pick here in this top seven run I have is the New York Jets, Dalton's team. Now I wanted to phone a friend here, Dalton, and ask you. So with the news of Davante Adams no longer being in New York, are we thinking Tedrick McMillan and forming a lethal young duo with Garrett Wilson, or do we think more along the lines of a Mason Graham or maybe a Tyler Warren?
Those are the three guys right there, and they're all so good. Those are three of the best players that we've watched in college football the last couple of years.
Or even Will Johnson, too. I mean, you could throw him in the mix.
Even you could throw Will Johnson in that mix. I think those other three would be more at a premium because it's three spots where they have one great player, but they're hurting for a second great player, right? You have Garrett Wilson, but no number two right now. You've got Sauce Gardner, but no real number two right now. And you've got Quinnen Williams with no real extra run stuffer there. And that's what makes Mason Graham so appealing to me. But, you know, I think I get the feeling Aaron Glenn may want to build that offense something like he had in Detroit. I think it's actually I think between those three, and I don't think you could go wrong. I love all three of those guys. I have a feeling it would be Tyler Warren.
Interesting.
The Jets had the third lowest graded tight end unit in the league last year, and that's with now I believe they're cutting or they've already cut Tyler Conklin. I think they might be in the process of that. I don't think he's going to be back. I'm going to go with Tyler Warren. I think it's an extremely hard choice because there is a benefit for their team of any of those three guys, and Tet would make a fantastic complement to Garrett Wilson as well. But I think they might like the receiver depth if they want to go that route later in the draft. Let's just say later in round two or three, it's a Jaden Higgins or a Jack Besh or whoever may be there on day two, whereas Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland are clearly the two best tight ends in this draft. There's other good options, but Warren's a different animal, especially when you factor in the blocking. I think they're going to want to get the run game jump started as well as the passing game. We don't know who their quarterback's going to be either, but we might as well get up front, get mean up front with this young offensive line with Tyler Warren and run the football with Breece Hall.
All right, I'm taking Tyler Warren then. You don't have to tell me twice as a Penn State fan to take Tyler Warren in the top 10 of a draft. So Tyler Warren, number 7 overall, to the New York Jets. And I, as high as I am and as high as we are on Tedrick McMillan, I don't know if the NFL is quite as high on Tedrick McMillan.
It seems to be varied thoughts.
Yeah.
Because I think there's like a chance he could go as high as 4 to the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, I've seen other mocks where he gets down closer in the late teens or 20.
Which is crazy.
Which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, look, there's now I finally get to go. Look at this.
You got a nice run now.
I finally get to be on the show. I got a tough choice here between two of those three guys we were just talking about when you're talking about Tedrick and McMillan, who, look, the Panthers need defense more than anybody in the league. It's the lowest graded defense in the league. But McMillan's the type of weapon that they're missing from their offense, right? It's, and now they have good weapons, and they could get more later in the draft, but they don't have that number one difference-making type of guy. McMillan could be that guy. I think it's a very tough choice for them right here if this is the way the board were to fall. I think they would still – I have a feeling they would still lean in on defense, and for as tempting as McMillan is, I think they've got Jalen Coker. They're going to work on Xavier Legette, Jatavion Sanders at tight end. They're going to try to build it kind of by committee on offense. Their defense is so rough right now that it doesn't even give them a chance to win games. I'm actually going to go with Mason Graham. I think the best defensive player left on the board. Put him next to Derrick Brown. Buy some pieces around it with the money you have and figure it out. Keep building depth later in the draft. I think Mason Graham, though, for the Panthers would be too good to pass up.
I don't blame you at all. And, you know, for anyone who's worried with the weight with Mason Graham, I actually had a source very close to Mason Graham reach out to me recently and said, hey, Mason played at 320 as a sophomore. He dropped down to 315 as a junior because he played about 100 more snaps. And then while he was training, he went down to 300 because he's trying to, obviously, as many players do. And the combine weights are always weird to me because it's like they're at that weight because they're trying to run as fast as possible. That's probably not what they're actually playing at in the NFL. And so he was going to do the combine, and then he bruised his heel, and he could not participate at the combine. So he came in at 295 because, obviously, after a bruised heel, he couldn't really work out that much either. Lost a little bit more weight. So 295 is what he came in at, 296 actually, to be exact. He actually plays at 315. So 315 is what he's actually playing at. The 296 number is not indicative of what he actually is playing at. So I'm with you. I think anyone's overreacting to the combine weight is really, I don't understand it. I think Mason Graham is absolutely still a top 5 to top 10 talent in this draft.
I think he's the top 5 player in this draft. And for the Panthers, if he were to drop to 8 and the Panthers were to get him here, I think it'd be a home run for sure. All right, staying in that division, New Orleans at 9. They would have loved to have had Mason Graham, wouldn't they? So it makes this tough. Now do I go pass rusher? Do I go O-line? Do I go D-line? Do I go corner? Could I go Tedrick McMillan to the Saints? I know they have Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, but McMillan's kind of – he gives them an element they don't really have. And this is where we started getting to the points where we talk about why is McMillan dropping. Well, teams maybe just have slightly more of a need elsewhere than receiver, and this is what can happen with a guy falling like that. I think I'm going to stay in the trenches. I'm going to go with a guy who's been a really hot name lately, had an outstanding combine. I'm going to go on the offensive line. Give me Armon Membu from Missouri.
Love it.
I was seeing if he would drop to the 49ers here, although I'm in control of that in theory. But, you know, move Trevor Penning inside, maybe to left guard, see where it goes. He had a really rough time pass protecting his first 2 years. See if that works on the inside. Shore up the offensive line again. You got Talisi Fuaga last year, Armon Membu this year. Kellen Moore, at the very least, is going to build a good offensive line. He knows from Philadelphia, you build in the trenches, you can go a long way. It's a long-term project with the Saints. And if you want a guy who's going to join a team right now at just 20 years old and join a long-term project, let's go with Membu there at 9 for the Saints and just go long term. Take your time, figure out the quarterback situation next year. This is likely to be Derek Carr's last year there. And even then, this year, you can at least protect him a little better, see if he can play well. But I'll take some trench help for the Saints at 9 on the offensive line. Armon Membu.
Yeah, he's rocketing up boards right now. He was phenomenal at Missouri this past year, had a phenomenal combine as well. Yeah, I'm with you. And we actually had Neil Ebner in the chat was saying, you know, wow, Membu's still available. He's going to be a steal for someone here. And, yeah, he goes to New Orleans at number 9 overall. I mean, there's been talks, Dolan, that he could be the first offensive lineman off the board, period, on this draft. And it makes a lot of sense considering how good he was for the Saints. Now, the Bears, they had a need on the interior O-line, but obviously they had two big acquisitions recently, getting Jonah Jackson and Joe Tooney on that interior line. So now with Ginty off the board as well, what do you do with Chicago at number 10?
Well, they still need a center, but I'm not going to get that right now, right? They have 2 second-round picks, I think at somewhere around 39 and 41, I think it is. So I might look into that later when we get to them. But there's also, you mentioned it, there's been rumors about Ashton Ginty. He's not there right now. Everybody's mocking Ginty, but Got to have a backup plan, right? I think the defensive line is the next place we go, and I think another hot name coming out of the combine had a freakish combine, and it sounds like, you know, he's 26 on our board right now. He's probably going to go a little bit higher than that based on his build and potential. I think it's Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M. I think you put him across from Montez Sweat. If nothing else, you make your run defense immediately better. You've got a serious issue now running on the Chicago Bears when you've got to run into Montez Sweat and Shamar Stewart on the edges, when you got T.J. Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds at linebacker on the inside. Probably get another defensive tackle later in the draft. Maybe they think about a Kenneth Grant here, but Stewart's rocketing up boards for the combine he had, and I get it.
Yeah, absolutely. I get it as well. So, yeah, Shamar Stewart, phenomenal combine. He is going in the top 10 of the draft to the Chicago Bears. I agree with you. I think the Bears would be very interested in his services as well if he was on the board. All right. I'm up here at number 11 with the 49ers. Actually, there's someone in the chat. King
49ers. Still NFC, aren't I?
Oh,
still going?
Sorry. You're still up. But yeah, we had guy
King. We're used to it the old way.
Yeah, King David Cartel says that throw the whole show away if you think Shador Sanders is dropping out of the top 10. We have Shador going 3 overall. So Shador Sanders is going to the top 10. So we're not throwing the show away.
Listen, we're Shador believers around
here. We
have
QB1.
I've got no slander. Listen, I'm not going to slander a kid's character. I've never met him. I think he's fantastic. Anyway, San Fran at 11. You got some interesting developments here because, man, I think this offensive line seems to be the most drafted one. I love Kelvin Banks here. I still might go with it, but you look at somebody who fits their off or their I should say their defense, Robert Saleh's defense again. Now think about maybe Jadae Barron's a possibility.
They cut Javon Hargrave.
Javon, you think about a Kenneth Grant or a Walter Nolan. I think about, you know, even off the other edge right now, they really have nothing other than Nick Bosa off the edge. I was watching James Pierce Jr. again the other day, and I'm like, man, that's the kind of wide nine edge rusher that Robert Saleh would really like. I think there's a lot of options, but I'm going to stick with this being one of my favorite team fits, regardless of where they put him at in position. That's Kelvin Banks Jr. I think if you're going to sign Brock Purdy to this big extension, you have to protect him long term. I think Banks is a guy who can do that. If you put him at right tackle or guard early, if eventually he's Trent Williams' replacement at left tackle whenever he retires, unless he's going to play till he's 45. But I like Kelvin Banks Jr. It's something I've been thinking about a lot. If Membu was here, I would have a serious choice between them. I'll be honest with you. I think either one of them could fit very well. I'm going to stay on the offensive line and go Kelvin Banks to the 49ers. And then I have one more with Dallas. And I think considering the way this board has fallen and without Ashton Jeansey here, and even then there's a rumor, and we might get into this in round two also, there's a rumor that they're going to want to re-sign Rico Dowdle and get a committee thing going, maybe take a back a little bit later. I'm going to go with Teteroa McMillan here for Dallas. I think you put him out there, I think he's the perfect complement to CeeDee Lamb. When you talk about a guy who can get vertical, who can get over the middle of the field, do a lot of similar things that Mike Evans and Drake London can do, add size to a receiving room that's very, very small, right? When you talk about CeeDee Lamb and Jalen Tolbert and Kevontae Turpin, right? There's a lot of speed, but there's not a lot of size. McMillan gives you that room for error with his size, the contested catchability. I think all of a sudden you have a really dynamic pair with him and CeeDee Lamb on that offense.
And listen, CeeDee Lamb fell way further than he should in his draft when the Cowboys scooped him up. Teddy McMillan falling way further than he should in this draft, and the Cowboys scooped him up here as well. And it worked out really well, CeeDee Lamb. So I think that pairing of those two together would be fantastic and help Dak Prescott kind of rebound a little bit as well. I think it would be really good. All right, I'm up here with the Miami Dolphins at number 13 overall. Would have loved to see Kelvin Banks Jr. fall here or Amon Membu fall here as well. Neither of them did, so I'm going to go to the defensive side of the ball. I'm going to go with Malachi Starks. Now, there is the news that Javon Holland's a free agent. Obviously, he might be leaving. He might get $20 million a year. Don't know if that'll come from Miami. Nick Amanwori is the hot name in the safety community right now, and he might be the top safety off the board. But if Javon Holland leaves, Amanwori is not the free safety that you want in that defense, right? They already have Brandon Jones there as kind of their box safety. That kind of be a little redundant, I think, with Amanwori. Malachi Starks, you could put back there as a free safety for them. So I think Starks to Miami, in terms of a fit, makes a lot more sense than Amanwori to Miami.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think when you talk about the struggles they had in coverage last year, I totally understand that thinking. And look, safety is going to be a need. I think it seems very unlikely they're going to keep Javon Holland. He may go somewhere like a Vegas or another team with a need in a secondary, but maybe a Washington. But no, I think Starks is a very good pick there. I know it seemed like Amanwori overshadowed him at the combine, but Starks looked fantastic in the drills, didn't he? So
yeah.
I don't think I really have any questions about Starks' ability to cover, to tackle, to do really much of anything. Just a really good, well-rounded player.
Absolutely. All right, number 14 overall, the Indianapolis Colts.
You got options.
I do have options.
You got here. Options.
I really do. There is
that guy at the top is tempting.
the guy at the top, but also the guy a little bit lower.
Yeah, both of them.
I'm going to go with the guy who's a little lower. I think Will Johnson is a pick that I can't pass up here. The cornerback from Michigan.
Feels like a steal at 14.
He is an absolute steal.
If he ever got to 14, it's just an absolute steal.
You can make an argument. I think he's closer to being a top 5 player in this draft than he is a top 15 player. So I think that getting him at number 14 overall for the Colts is just – they need help in that cornerback room. I think Will Johnson is probably the best corner in the draft outside of Travis Hunter, in my opinion. I think that he would just help transform that secondary that desperately needs transformation right now. So Will Johnson, number 14 overall, I can't really see him going too much further down the board than this.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Atlanta, I have Atlanta at 15. I have Atlanta and Arizona 15, 16. I'm going to go with the obvious. I think Atlanta was 30th in pass rush grade this year. They just could not get to quarterbacks at all. The top edge rusher left on our board here is James Pierce Jr. I think that's a solid call. Needs still some work on his pass rush plan. I think I was watching him the other day. Sometimes it can be a little bit reckless and a little too reliant on his talent. I think he's one, there's a little more risk with him on the field associated just with his play style and the lack of polish than I thought there was. You know, when I did the final eval on him the other day. I do think it's worth a shot. I do think at the very, very least, he's maybe a slightly more explosive Dallas Turner. With some coaching, he could be one of the best pass rushers in football. He just kind of has to just have a little more of a plan out there. But he did get a lot better in this year, especially in run defense. And I think Atlanta, for the sake of getting that juice in their pass rush, this is a player that they're going to want. I'm going James Pierce Jr. at 15. Then 16's a little bit different because you got the Cardinals. I think there's several places they could go. They could stay on the defensive line. Pierce would have been an option here had he fallen one more spot. Corner's an option. Offensive line's an option. But we're also doing two rounds, right? And I think about maybe the interior, those guard spots for Arizona, right? And I think both their starting guards are free agents. They still need a right tackle, too. That might be something I attack in round two. I think, Jhené Barron, I just can't help but feeling like he's not going to fall very much further than this. I'm going to go out there because I think that's also a weak spot on their defense is that outside corner spot. They're really good at safety. Garrett Williams is an excellent slot player, Syracuse legend, right? And I think just if you get one of these primetime outside corners, especially a guy like Jhené Barron, in Jonathan Gannon's zone defense, I don't think it's being talked about enough. Everybody's just assuming the Cardinals are going trenches for sure, right? But when you look at, and I think if I hadn't taken James Pierce Jr. to the Falcons, I would take him to Arizona. I think it makes a ton of sense. There's going to be teams unsure on Mike Green. There's going to be, you know, Trevor's got Donovan Ezeraku 16th on his board here, but I don't know that he's actually going 16th in this draft,
right? I don't think
right?
so. I don't think he is.
Armon Membu would be fantastic here, but now I don't know if he's getting all the way to 16 with the way teams and people have been talking about him. So now I go, okay, well, what is a player that just makes their defense better? Maybe they spend some money, O-line and D-line. Let's get a primetime zone corner that fits this defense. I'm going Jhené Barron. I think it's something that's not being talked about enough, the possibility that one of these corners could end up in Arizona and they get a really good secondary going.
Donnie in the chat, who is a big Cardinals fan, he said, are we 100% sure that Barron's an NFL boundary corner? Because he's not that sure if he can be.
I didn't see anything at Texas this past year that made me think he couldn't be. I mean, honestly, especially when you're talking about all the zone coverages and all the complex things that Pete Kwiatkowski ran, you're not going to ask him necessarily to get out on an X and get in press man. And that's not really what Jonathan Gannon asks of his guys anyway, right? Came from Philly, runs that heavy zone, heavy quarters kind of system. I think for the role in the Cardinals defense that he could play, it's why I like him to the Colts too with Lou Anarumo. A lot of those zone looks, and even you can move him around and use him as a blitzer. It's less of a concern for me with Barron as long as he goes to the right defense, and I think Jonathan Gannon runs the right defense for that.
All right, so we got Eli coming up in just a second with the Cincinnati Bengals. Before we get to that pick, though, we got to talk about the sponsor of the show. That is Fabric by Gerber Life. What does your child's future success look like to you? A job they're passionate about, traveling around the world, or just being happy and comfortable? Whatever their journey, you can help make it easier to achieve with a kid's investment account from Fabric by Gerber Life. By making contribution to your child's future today, you can help give them the means to pursue their dreams, big and small. Fabric by Gerber Life is designed by parents for parents to make it easy to plan for and manage your family's financial path. With a kids investment account from Fabric, you can start investing in your child's future today. Kids can't invest when they're minors, but a kids investment account allows you to invest on their behalf right now, giving their investments more time to grow. Funds can be used for nearly anything benefiting your child, from tuition and tutors to music classes. And when they're adults and out on their own, they can use the funds for anything that they need. Unique gifting lists can be shared with family and friends. So instead of more stuff, they can help grow your child's investments for their future instead. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to help protect their family. Start investing in your child's future today at meetfabric.com/PFFcollege. That's meetfabric.com/PFFcollege. meetfabric.com/PFFcollege. Portfolios managed by Fort Washington Investment Advisors Incorporated. Additional services provided by Apex Clearing Corporation. All investing is subject to risk. Learn more at meetfabric.com. All right, Eli, 17th overall. The Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock. What are you going to do here for your Bengals?
I think it's pretty easy for the Bengals. You're looking at defensive interior, especially, or just defensive line at this point. Sam Hubbard retired yesterday. So the most popular one is what I'm going to go with. I'm going to take Walter Nolan. Has had a pretty great rise over since the Senior Bowl, basically. Just really showed off that freaky athleticism, has a high floor, especially in the run game, and can still probably give you some pass rush juice. So we're going Walter Nolan.
All right, Walter Nolan. Eli, what about, we got a guy in the chat say, Nick Emanwori to the Bengals. He put any thought to Emanwori with his stock kind of rocketing up lately?
I would like him a lot. I think it's going to be interesting to see. I don't think he would really fit Golden's defense. I think he kind of prefers a Xavier Watts center fielder kind of guy. I mean, obviously Xavier Watts because he played in the defense, but I don't think the Bengals, if you're drafting a guy like Nick Emanwori, it's probably not going to be the best fit for him because you want him to be a chess piece. Like, you guys have all talked about him being like Kyle Hamilton, if that's, whether that's Seattle or like a Ravens, obviously not him because they have Kyle Hamilton. But yeah, I just don't think he's the best fit, or I don't think the Bengals would be able to use him to his fullest potential.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. I think Walter Nolan makes a lot of sense, too, for 17.
Yeah, Cincinnati. I think anything on defense makes a lot of sense, honestly, of him, or even, I know there's going to be a lot of talk about Kenneth Grant, too, but I do wonder, with Hubbard retiring and them trying to build the entire thing, what they think about these edge players as well, if it's Mike Green, if it's Donovan Esaraku, whoever else may still be on the board off the edge, a Michael Williams, even Jalen Walker, right? I wonder about if they can fill some defensive tackle holes in free agency. Do they maybe shift their focus to the edge? Or like you mentioned, shift it over to safety with somebody like Emanwori, or if Malachi Starks were on the board. I mean, they've got needs at just about every position on defense. I would argue every single position, actually. So I don't think there's a wrong answer there. It's just whoever Al Golden now thinks is going to fit best.
Absolutely. All right, you're up with Seattle, number 18 overall. What are you doing here?
All right, so for as much as I'm obviously been screaming all winter about Seattle needing interior offensive linemen, it's just not a great wheelhouse to take one at 18 here, especially with Tyler Booker kind of having a rough combine. I know that's one, and I don't love him as a scheme fit with Clint Kubiak anyway. That's not the guy I'd be taking if I were them. So I think I'm going to wait till round two with interior offensive line, maybe with Seattle. I'm going to go linebacker because right now it's really kind of a thin group. We did, you know, Tyrese Knight had a nice rookie year. It was something they were trying to figure out a lot. They got a couple of free agents, but I think Jahad Campbell from Alabama is really in play here for Seattle at 18. That's somewhere where they're trying to find some young dynamic talent. The defensive line, especially the interior, getting better. They got Leonard Williams. You have Byron Murphy. You got a pretty thick defensive line. Maybe one more edge player, but I think linebacker is a bigger need, and Campbell seems like a guy who's going to be something, if not a top 20 lock, he seems like he's going to be a first-round lock and probably the first true linebacker off the board.
I like it. I like it a lot. I think Jahad Campbell was an outstanding combine as well. I think he's got to definitely cement himself as a first-round pick in this draft, so I like that a lot. He's probably actually going to be my pick at number 19 overall because we heard a lot of rumblings from some Tampa Bay people that they love Jahad Campbell, and that was a guy they might take at number 19 if he's there.
If he's there, that would be the big question. You know, I think them, it's linebacker. I could go safety. I could think about safety here with Nick Emanwori also. Now, would I personally do it? Maybe not. I think there's some other guys I like better. Here's the question, really. Do I make the Trevor Sikkema pick and give him Donovan Esaraku? Do I give him his guy?
Ooh, you could do. I don't think he's going to go. If we're doing predictive mock draft, I just don't think he's going to go that high. I was more looking at like a Jalen Walker or Mike, because Jalen Walker, need an edge and linebacker. I think he's going to go this high in the draft.
Walker, Michael Williams. Well, you're right. I guess if it's linebacker, maybe Todd Bowles goes, you know what? He could do a little of both.
And you know Bowles will get creative with him.
Oh, didn't Trevor have the Devin White comp on Jalen Walker?
I think he did.
Oh, that might be the thing. Yeah, you know what? Let's do it. He might want Isaraku, but he's getting Jalen Walker. All right, Jalen Walker to Tampa Bay.
It feels like we're of course, the PFF Big Board's a little lower on him. It feels like Walker's going to go somewhere in the top.
Him and Mikel are tough because we're a little bit lower on them, and I know eventually at some point here we're going to have to get Mikel off the board.
Yes.
He's very likely to go in the first round. But, yeah, Jalen Walker, you know what, that feels like that makes sense. And it does give them breathing room if they want to put him at linebacker. We don't know Levante David's situation yet. He hasn't signed his annual one-year deal yet, but yeah, I think edge, linebacker, safety are all in play there for the Bucks at 19. We'll go with well, either an edge or a linebacker or both. We don't really know yet, do we?
Yeah, exactly. All right, I got the Broncos at number 20. So a lot of talk from Sean Payton about wanting a joker in his offense, and many people say, okay, well, Colson Loveland could fit that bill. Well, Dawn, Luther Burden could fit that bill as well. And I think you get Luther Burden in that receiving core. He's a guy who could win after the catch. He could win downfield. He's better hands than you'd think. He's pretty good in contested situations as well. He's different than a Courtland Sutton, very different from Courtland Sutton, so he's kind of a nice complement in that offense as well. I think Luther Burden III also kind of fits that joker role they're looking for in offense. This is a guy you can give handoffs to. We've made the Deebo Samuel comparisons before. Just a versatile weapon for Bo Nix in that offense who could win underneath, who Bo Nix obviously targets a lot underneath. I think Luther Burden fits the billing of a joker just as much as a Colson Loveland does for that offense.
I think that's absolutely reasonable. I think you have Marvin Mims, who's kind of a gadget guy, but Burden's more versatile than that. He's got explosive speed. He can get downfield, but I think you mentioned it. Yards after catch, missed tackles, force as a receiver in an offense, in a passing offense at least, with Bo Nix and Sean Payton running it, that's a little more conservative and needs to rely on those things a little bit more. You've got Courtland Sutton as a vertical guy. I think Burden would fill a lot of roles in that offense, and there's more tight ends if you wanted to go that route that we could get to, maybe even in round two, you think about it. But this we got some really athletic guys. Maybe Terrence Ferguson, who Bo threw to at Oregon, you know, maybe a thought like that. But I do like Burden there to Denver. I think it adds a lot of explosiveness.
Yeah. All right, next pick I have here.
All right, here's your question real quick.
Huh.
Are we getting Jackson Dart in this first round? Or with this?
I'm not doing it. I don't think it's going to happen.
Is there another – okay. All right, then we'll talk about it in round two. It seems to be the thought that he very well could go in round one, but are we kind of sticking to the guns here or what? Especially with the first two going in the top three.
I don't think so. What I actually was debating here for the Steelers is which do they prefer between Ekpuka and Matthew Golden? Because Golden had an unreal combine as well, and it feels like his stock is soaring. So I would prefer Ekpuka. But Ekpuka, Golden ran a 4.29 at the combine, which came out of nowhere.
That's pretty good.
And
he's a spectacular route runner too.
Yeah, yeah. I think he complements George Pickens. I think the way he's rocketing up boards lately, I'm going to go with Golden over Ekpuka here. So I'm going to take Matthew Golden to the Steelers, even though I would probably prefer Emeka Ekpuka. I think Matthew Golden, the way he did the combine, the way he had a breakout year this past year, I'm going to go with Matthew Golden in the Steelers at 21.
Reasonable. I get it. I think the one other spot they would still think about is corner. I think there are a lot of people very, very, very high on Siobhan Revell.
Yeah.
And that would be a defense in a spot where I think he would fit in and make them better. Kind of in a similar mold to Joey Porter. I know Porter's got some issues at the catch point, but I think Siobhan Revell would be very, very much in play, and I think is somebody we may get very much in play in the next handful of picks here. But you have the Chargers at 22.
Oh, right. So, I do have the Chargers again. All right.
They cut
Joey Bosa. They literally just cut him yesterday.
They did. There's options. I mean, free agency is going to be big for their D-line. Their entire defensive line is free agents. Their entire starting four.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
But it's Jim Harbaugh. Or it's Jim Harbaugh and it's a defensive lineman.
Yeah.
There's a couple of guys with that big Maze M that are sitting there that I look at and I'm like,
I'm looking at those two.
I really feel like it could be one of those two.
Also, Mykal Williams is still here, though.
Ooh, is this the spot for him?
That's what I was thinking about, because I think Mykal's going to go higher than this, but all right, I'm gonna go with one of the Michigan guys, because I think you're right. I think that's probably what he would look at first over them.
The other big question is if they'll even be picking here, because they've been heavily rumored. They've been the most heavily rumored team on DK Metcalf also.
Yeah, that's true. So I'll go with Colson Loveland for now. And I think he fits a big need at tight end. And obviously Jim Harbaugh knows how to use him. He had a great year with Jim Harbaugh as a sophomore. So I'll go with him for now, but I do think edge rusher is definitely going to be a priority for them. With the news that Joey Bosa just got cut too, and Khalil Mack's still a free agent, so they'll probably bring Khalil Mack back. I'd be pretty surprised if he left, but I think Colson Loveland would be a really fun pick for that offense.
Absolutely, it's an offense that needs receiving help. They need receiving help in general outside of Ladd McConkey. It's why they're looking into DK Metcalf, and if they do stay here, I think Loveland's an option. I think Ibuka would be an option at least. I know Harbaugh certainly knows him well from the rivalry days, but no, I think Loveland, he would add just such a different dimension to that offense. I think Justin Herbert would love him. Green Bay at 23. Boy, it's weird with the Packers because you go, they have a lot more needs than you might think they would, right? Edge, corner, receiver. They need a center. I mean, they got some really important spots that they need to fill here. And I think now, I think if I'm looking off the edge and they've taken a couple guys from Georgia in the past, I think I might go Mikael Williams here now. They've had Devontae Wyatt in the past. They drafted, I know he's not a D lineman, but Javon Bullard last year they took. I think they go back to the well. The one tempting one for me here is if we're getting in this conversation of connections and things like that, Jeff Hafley being their defensive coordinator.
It's true. Good point.
He was the head coach at Boston College. He's going to know Donovan Azaraku really, really well. That would be in consideration here for me, but I think for the sake of, again, predictive, I think on a lot of teams' boards, Mikel's going to be higher than Azaraku. I'll go with Mikael Williams there.
I love that. It makes a lot of sense. I think it feels like he's going to go in the top 20 in the draft, so getting him there at 23 to Green Bay, it feels like they're going to prioritize edge as well, so I think that's a very smart pick. So you have the Vikings here at 24.
Minnesota. This has been a popular one. I think as long as he gets there, although this could be a trade-out spot with them not picking again, I think till the 90s, I want to say. They're not picking again till late in the third round. I'm going to go with Kenneth Grant. They had a tough time last year on the interior. The edge players were great. Andrew Van Ginkle was a huge addition, right? Jonathan Grenard, they were really good off the edge. They need help in the secondary. Another spot where I think Siobhan Revell would make a ton of sense in Brian Flores' defense, but if Kenneth Grant's on the board, I don't think they pass him up. He makes a run defense a whole lot better and gives Flores options to work with on the back end working off of that.
Love that. Kenneth Grant going to the Vikings. They absolutely need help on the interior defensive line as well, so it makes a lot of sense. I'm going to go here with the Texans. Now, there's a lot of talk about them needing interior O-line. Maybe Tyler Booker is a spot here. Interior D-line needs help as well. Maybe Derek Harmon or Darius Alexander's a interesting pick here. I'm going to help out C.J. Stroud, not in terms of pass blocking, but in terms of receivers. And I'm going to add Emeka Egbuka, his former teammate at Ohio State, to that receiving core, because Dolan, you look at that receiving core, Nico Collins is a superstar. We don't have to talk about him too much. But you got Stephon Diggs, who might not be back in Houston, and then you got Tank Dell, who's coming off another major injury.
It appears that he's going to miss all of. He just had surgery, so because it was a lot of torn ligaments in there. He just had ACL surgery finally earlier this week, and it looks like he's going to be out for all of 25.
So it's unfortunate what's going on with him, and obviously you need help as a slot receiver, and Mekibu can be that. And like I said, if you lose Stephon Diggs, and obviously Tank Dell's out for all of next year, obviously like Nico Collins and not much else in that receiving core, right? So adding in Mekibu, he's got chemistry with CJ Stroud already. They were both phenomenal together at Ohio State. I think that would be a really smart thing for them to do, and I think receiver, I know a lot of people talk about the offensive line and even the defensive line with them, but I think receiver all of a sudden could be a massive need in Houston with the injury news of Tank Dell and with Stephon Diggs potentially not being there anymore.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think they're going to come out of this draft, whether it be round one, two, or three, with another weapon, and I think Ibuka fits that offense really, really well. All right, I have the Rams at 26. This one's harder because they just re-signed Alaric Jackson, their left tackle.
Right.
Rob Havenstein, they said, is going to be back for one more year. Colson Loveland's off the board. They were fishing for a tight end last year. This is actually tougher. Do I go linebacker? Do I reach? Is this Nicky Manwari?
I was gonna say he's been falling lower than I think he might go in the draft.
Corner? Do we think about? There are some people really high on Maxwell Hairston too.
Okay. Well. Yes, they are people. I will say there's off-field stuff with
there's,
them.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I don't know how that's going to affect
do
him.
They take a Siobhan Revell, even though it's not a great system fit? This is a really hard one, actually. I could go with an interior player. I know they got Braden Fisk last year, but we could.
You think they still go tackle? Like Josh Simmons? I know people have going top 20 in a lot of mocks.
It is possible. So they have Alaric Jackson, I believe, on a three-year deal, and they still need a right tackle. Maybe you keep Simmons kind of in a on the slow play sort of thing, or Well, no, they're not going to do quarterback now. This is tough. I'm actually very tempted to go interior defensive line.
Okay.
Keep going on the inside because obviously I have Jared Verse off the edge. You got Braden Fisk. I'm thinking about somebody like a Derek Harmon. Put him inside there in with Braden Fisk, in with Kobe Turner, and I think you've really got a nice rotation. Maybe they start building things like Philly because Philly had four productive defensive tackles this past year. Let's go with Derek Harmon here. It's tough because you look at linebacker – maybe is Demetrius Knight, or are we going with him 26? I haven't really heard a lot about that. Corner would make a lot of sense, but are we reaching or are we getting that good system fit? Like Trey Amos and Siobhan Revelle are more man corners, and that's a zone defense. That's a tough pick now for the Rams because for a while, I'm going to have to recalibrate the way I think about that because for a long time, I've really thought about offensive line and thinking about Alaric Jackson leaving. Receiver would be another one, but would they go Elik Iemanar this early? I haven't heard a lot of first-round buzz with him. That seems like more of a second-round target. So the Rams are interesting, and I still wonder, after they wanted Brock Bowers last year, would they try to trade up to a certain spot somewhere, maybe 19, like we have – where did we have Loveland going, 22?
Yeah.
Would they trade up in that like 19 to 21 range to try to get Loveland in this scenario?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a possibility. Drake Holiday in the chat saying, Don Razaraku to Baltimore, please, Kings. Assume we keep Stanley. So I think that's a really interesting conversation with Baltimore is what happens with Ron Stanley because there's a lot of talk that New England, like you said before, is interested in acquiring him, but is he going to go back to Baltimore now? Because if he doesn't go back, then all of a sudden I'm talking about Josh Simmons here. I'm talking about Josh Connerly Jr. here. That's where I'm probably thinking, but I don't know. Do we think Ronnie Stanley is going to be a Raven next year, or do you think he's going to be gone?
Tough. There's rumors that the Patriots and the Chiefs are both very much in on that. It's going to come down to money and where he wants to be. New England would have to offer him the most money, obviously. The Chiefs are interested because we're going to get to this pick in a few spots here where we go, okay, who's the Chiefs' left tackle? And is that Simmons or Connerly or whoever? And I mean, it seems like, too, it's starting to feel like we've got Josh Simmons, though, dropping a little bit lower here than maybe he's got because there's some very high opinions of Josh Simmons floating around. I think if right now, if we were saying we really think there's a real threat of Ronnie Stanley leaving, and think about the Chiefs too specifically, trading Joe Tooney to the Bears to get out of a pretty large size cap hit to clear some money to go get, it would make sense if it was Ronnie Stanley.
I wonder if that also, though, is them clearing money so they could sign Trey Smith to a big deal, too.
That's true, too. And, I mean, and some of that would be backloaded once you get into the extension part of it. But, I mean, if they're going to contend, they're going to need a left tackle.
Yeah.
And if you're going to get a left tackle to contend right now, both of these teams, it's going to be Ronnie Stanley. Now, we're speculating because he's unsigned and we're not going to know any of that till next week. But several teams are in on his services, and we could very well see as a result of it the Ravens taking a tackle.
I think it's possible. I'm going to assume they keep him, though. I'm going to go with Mike Green here, the edge rusher for Marshall. Now, Mike Green is a guy who on the field is probably worth a top 15 or 20 pick in the draft. So him falling here at 27, there are extensive off-field stuff with Mike Green. There was a sexual assault allegation in high school and another sexual assault allegation while he was down at Virginia Tech as well. So he's a guy that you got to do extensive homework on him. But he's a talented player. He was one of the best edge rushers in the country in each of the last 2 years. Mike Green will go in the top 20 if everything checks out off the field. If it doesn't check out off the field, though, he'll be off teams' boards altogether. So it's a very complicated discussion around Mike Green. We obviously have no intel on any of this, so it's very complicated to try to project him in a mock draft. But I think in an environment like Baltimore where they need to help an edge rusher, Mike Green would probably be a target for them as long as all the off-fields check out. So, I have no idea how it's going to check out with him, but I think this is a possibility for them.
Based on just his on-field production, he could go as high as, I think, 15 to Atlanta. I think that's how good he is. He's probably a top 15 to 20 talent. It's just all of that stuff matters too. So he does, indicative of that, he does drop here to the Ravens, who you mentioned need an edge some edge help. I think tell you what, the Lions here need some edge help too. We've talked about that forever, and I think this is now the territory where we start talking about Donovan Azaraku. I think when you talk about the length that he has, the pass rush plan, the productivity, the explosiveness he showed at the combine. I think it's really trending toward him being a first-round pick. That's where I'm going to go for the Lions, is right there at the top of the board with Donovan Esaraku. Put him across from Aiden Hutchinson, let it fly. Obviously still have some needs for an aging offensive line on the inside and you know, a little bit of help in the secondary. But I think to get that second guy along with Aiden Hutchinson is going to be huge, and they'll still have a really good defensive line as long as they fill that one spot next year.
Love it. Donovan Esaraku to the Lions. Makes a lot of sense there. It feels like a guy that Dan Campbell's really going to like. Washington near 29, what are you going to do here?
Look, you know, he's going to go in the first round. Josh Simmons is going to go in the first round.
I was looking at
the Commanders have several needs despite getting where they got to last year. They traded for Deebo Samuel, which helps them at receiver. I still think a receiver could be a day two target. Offensive line, defensive line, corner, any of those are good options. Trey Amos would make sense. Siobhan Revelle would make sense. I think protecting Jaden Daniels is big, though. And I think with Simmons having – he's a really good athlete when he's healthy, having some flexibility. Brendan Coleman having some flexibility. I think Simmons' talent is going to be something Washington's going to look at as far as improving the run game, protecting Jaden Daniels, and just building that whole thing with Daniels as the centerpiece. And, again, I still have to wonder if that pick, in theory, would be shipped off eventually to go get Myles Garrett. But for now, I'll go offensive line. Let's get better in the trenches and figure out the alignment later.
I love it. All right, Josh Simmons going to the Commanders at 29. Buffalo here at 30. I'm looking at Darius Alexander. I don't know if the NFL is going to have him as a first-round pick, though, so that'll be interesting, even though we have him as a first-round prospect. What do we think about Nicky Manwari's fit in this defense for Buffalo? Because I was kind of eyeing him,
too. That actually makes a lot of sense. It's one I hadn't thought about because I've been pretty locked in on D-line. Like, for me, I might go Tyreek Williams here. I need a run stopper.
Even a
Nick Skorton would make some sense.
In predictive, though, like I don't know.
It's getting hard because Eman Wari. It's not a bad spot for him.
Okay,
because they're thin. I mean, they're thin all over their defense. At D tackle, linebacker, safety. Even what they've been running out. What Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop and Damar Hamlin out there. I mean, to add a Nick Eman Wari. This is where it makes sense. Even the previous spot with Washington, it would have made some sense in Dan Quinn's defense to add Eman Wari to a defense like this, who can actually be, because you just, there's nobody in that back seven that makes you feel like scared of them, mm-hmm. like they're a real like threat. Eman Wari could be that guy coming downhill the way that he does.
Yeah, and Donnie made a good point. They had so many injuries at linebacker too. He could play up in the box a little bit as well. And Drake even said too, like this just feels further that he's a fog.
He's an excellent tackler.
Yeah,
that's big.
And it's also like I don't think Kansas City or Philadelphia is taking him in this spot. So I don't see him falling out of the first round for the combine. So
yeah.
For the sake of getting him in the first round, I think he has to go to Buffalo here at 30 overall.
That it makes, and I think it makes sense. Some, I mean, we'll see the tape versus the combine stuff is going to be big. I think, you know, there's even going to be teams, Cincinnati, Tampa Bay, there's going to be other teams that think about it. Minnesota even, you know, I think they have Cam Bynum and Harrison Smith. Aren't they both free agents? I'm pretty sure they both are.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of talk about Eman Wari, especially after what he did at the combine.
I have Kansas City at 31. Kansas. This is a pretty easy pick for me. I'm going with Josh Connerly Jr., the tackle from Oregon. So I think there's some people saying, oh, maybe a Gray Zabor, maybe take an interior guy. The problem is if you take an interior guy, then you're penciling in, or not even penciling in, you're sharpieing in Kingsley Suamataia as your starting left tackle. And he did not look very good there as a left tackle last year in his rookie year. Maybe he develops into that. But at least if you draft Josh Connerly Jr., you could put Kingsley in at left guard if you need to, see how he does there. Maybe if Connerly's struggling at tackle and you think Kingsley really developed well, you could switch the two of them. That gives you more flexibility. So instead of taking a true guard that could only play guard and nothing else, I'd rather take a guy like Josh Connerly Jr. that I think can play tackle. That way you don't have to put Suamataia at left tackle where he really struggled last year. This, I think, makes the most sense for Kansas City.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, especially if you made the prior assumption that that Baltimore was keeping Ronnie Stanley, then it leaves the Chiefs as a team without a left tackle for sure. And you mentioned it, Kingsley. I don't know that they want him playing out there. They saw enough of it this year that they're going to have to find an option. And Connerly, look, Connerly's a good player, and I think a pretty safe bet to at least be a solid player. I don't know if he's got an all-pro ceiling, but I like his feet. I like him in pass protection. I think he would be a good fit there if that's what they needed to do.
Absolutely. All right, 32 here. You got the Philadelphia Eagles.
I think there's two that jump out at me.
I see one that jumps out too.
Actually, there's three. There's like 100 that jump out to me. It's the Eagles. No, anyway.
I kind of like Nick Skorton here a lot.
It's Skorton or it's Tyler. I really like Tyleek Williams, man. Somebody's going to get a good player in Tyleek Williams. Skorton, Tyleek Williams. The other one here I would think about is Tyler Booker.
That's what Trevor did yesterday in our mock draft.
I'm very much in on that. He would play on the right side with Mekhi Becton. If you sign Zach Bond for $17 million a year, and they're always messing.
Do you think
they
bring back Becton, or do you think maybe let him walk?
He's the one I might let walk. I think he's maybe the most. Now the only thing is the D line argument. Now they have a ton of options on the D line, but they're losing Milton Williams and they're losing. Josh Sweat, we think, unless they're just Howie Roseman's just that much of a wizard. But they have options on the D-line. I don't know that they have another starting option right now at right guard. I don't think Tyler Booker is going to get in the teens, maybe like some thought a few weeks ago. I do still think he could be a first-round pick, and I think somewhere like Philadelphia with Jeff Stoutland coaching him and four other really darn good offensive linemen on that offensive line, I think this is a team that could comfortably say, okay, we can take him. We can develop him, even if he's not the best athlete. We're running downhill right down people's throats anyway. I'm with Trevor on this, actually. I think I'm going to go Tyler Booker at 32 to the Eagles.
I like it a lot. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense for Philadelphia. So that wraps up the first round of our mock draft, but we're not done yet. Obviously, we got another full round to go here, the second round of this mock. Of course, please subscribe to the channel so you don't miss any other videos like we're doing like this. All right, Don, I'm at 33 now with the Cleveland Browns, and just to recap what we did before, with Cleveland, we already took Abdul Carter with the number 2 overall pick to the Browns. So at 33 overall, we already know the Browns are in on taking a quarterback. I gotta wonder if Jackson Dart is the play here for Cleveland.
In this scenario,
with Abdul Carter,
yeah, you could think about it. I think about that because of what we've heard, or I do think about Amarion Hampton too.
That could be an option.
Nick Chubb, it's not sounding like he's going to be back, and he's on the back end with all the injuries anyway. I think about Amarion Hampton. I think about if there's any offensive lineman that you like here or even a receiver.
All the reports of the combine were saying, like Schefter said, I'm very confident that the Browns are taking a quarterback at number 2 overall. I mean, I already passed on Shedeur Sanders at number 2. I feel like if they're that in on taking a quarterback at 2, if they don't take a quarterback at 2, they're probably very in on at least trying something in the second or third round. So I'm going to go with Jackson Dart. It's probably going to be a top 40 pick and probably the consensus QB3 for a lot of teams right now. I'll go with him to the Browns here at 33 because I think the Browns are really in on taking a quarterback, whether they be at number 2 overall or at 33 overall or later on in the draft. But I think they're going to want to come out of at least day 2 with a quarterback.
I dig it. I don't necessarily agree with it.
No, I don't agree with it.
But all the noise that we're hearing.
Yes. That's why I did it. In a predictive mock draft, this is why.
A quarterback is a quarterback. I get it. I mean, and they need something. All right, the Giants. The Giants here. So we already got a quarterback to the Giants. We got Shedeur. Corner. Oh, corner might be a thought.
Siobhan Revell still there.
Because we managed somehow here to not get Siobhan Revell in the first round. And there are actually some who think Revell's like a top 20 prospect. The Giants, if they're going to want to keep it, I do this all the time. If they're going to want to run as much man coverage as they run, they need man coverage corners. And Siobhan Revell is that guy. I'll go there here at 34.
I think
there's a value to him here at 34, obviously coming off the knee, but the Giants, they want to play man coverage. They just don't have the ability to do so. So I'll go there. That makes sense to me. Their first two picks being Shedeur and Siobhan. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Sure. I like that, yeah.
Yeah, see? It all works in the end.
All right, Shedeur Sanders and Siobhan Revell going to the New York Giants.
You got a run here. Here we go.
Yeah, oh my God, I do have a run here. All right, I have the Tennessee Titans here. We took Cam Ward with the number 1 overall pick in the draft. And with the and this pick, I'm going to go I'm going to go with Gray Zabel. Although,
where are you putting him?
Wait a minute. Don't lock it in yet, Eli. Or he hasn't locked it in yet.
Yeah, I don't know where you're going to put
him. No, I just thought about that too. And
I
just an idea. I think we're going to Nick Skorton here.
I was just going to say it. That's where I was going with Skorton. I thought that was going to be.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah,
threw me off there a little with that one.
I was looking at what most people do in the analysis part, and I just forgot that Nick Skorton's still on the board. So thank God we didn't run that pick in. I'm going to go Nick Skorton here. I think Nick Skorton's still a first-round player in this draft. I loved his answers at the podium as to why his production was a little bit down this year. Basically, he said, hey, at Purdue, they let me pin my ears back and rush the passer. At Texas A&M, Mike Elko rather would have him and Shamar Stewart, stack and shed and try to see if they could defend the run first rather than purely rush the passer. That's might be why Shamar Stewart and Nick Skorton's numbers weren't as good this year. Also, Nick Skorton came in at 260. That's where I want him playing at. He played at 260 at Purdue, played at 280 at Texas A&M. Feels like he lost a step at Texas A&M playing at 280. You get him down to 260, I think he could be a first-round caliber edge. And for a team in Tennessee, it's probably very into taking Abdul Carter with their first overall pick. You take Cam Ward at number one, and then you take Nick Skorton in the second round. That is a very, very good two rounds, I think, for Tennessee.
Agreed. Totally agreed on that.
Oh, I'm up again. Jeez, okay.
This is one now I might your starting center just retired here in Jacksonville.
That's true.
That's see, now we're talking because they need interior. They're a team that needs interior in the worst way.
Very good point. Yeah, I'm going Gray Zabel here for Jacksonville. And we saw before – Matthew Gladstone, the new GM for
James Gladstone.
James Gladstone, excuse me. I'm looking at Matthew Golden. James Gladstone, the new general manager for Jacksonville, was saying how they want to protect Trevor Lawrence, and doing so on the interior is paramount for them. And now, like you mentioned before, they lose their starting center. There already was talk of them taking maybe Will Campbell and playing him at guard anyways, even if they didn't lose Mitch Morse already. So I think Gray Zabel, who was phenomenal at the Senior Bowl, talks about him being a first-round caliber player for some teams. I think Gray Zabel would be a really good pick here for Jacksonville.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, for sure. They need interior offensive line help. I think there has to be a big premium. Liam Cohen's schemes are going to help out a little bit with this and helping Trevor protect himself, but the premium here has to be on protecting Trevor Lawrence. I think if you come out of this with a player like Gray Zabel, especially after you already got Travis Hunter to help on the outside on both sides of the ball, I think you're really living here going with Jacksonville's first two picks.
Yes. All right, I'm up again with the Las Vegas Raiders.
You got options.
I do have options. So we took Ashton Jeanty in the first round. You know what I'm going to do here? We're going to take a big swing, and we're going to pray and hope and pray that his medicals check out. We're going with Ben Morrison, the corner, corner from Notre Dame.
Okay.
I think this guy, if his hip injury checks out and he's totally fine with that, he is a top 20, top 15 player in this draft. If it doesn't check out, he'd probably go a lot lower than this in the draft. But Ben Morrison, obviously, we mentioned before, the Raiders had the lowest rushing grade in the NFL last year, solved it by picking Ashton Jeanty. Lowest coverage grade also in the NFL last year. You get a guy like Ben Morrison in there who, like I said, is a first-round lock if he can, if that hip injury checks out. I think if he was fully healthy, we're talking about him in the same vein as Travis Hunter and Will Johnson and Jadae Barron. He's that kind of player. He's not in the next tier of corners. He's in that tier of corners. The problem is the hip injury and how that affects his stock. If you can get him here at 37 overall, getting Ashton Jeanty and Ben Morrison, fixing your two biggest weaknesses last year in your rushing and your coverage, I think that would be a really a good fit for Las Vegas.
I think that makes a ton of sense. You look at the two, and the Raiders obviously have a handful of problems. There's three big problems, though, with the Raiders. Quarterback, running back, secondary. The more you can fill those out, and you've done two of them now, obviously the quarterback situation we think might get at least temporarily solved in free agency. You've attacked running back and corner with your first two picks. I think that's there is risk to it, obviously, with the injury, but for the talent play, and if that does work, that can be a cornerstone, absolutely.
Yep.
You have one more. Well,
one more.
All right, I do have one question for you with this.
Please.
You making it all Tar Heel backfield? Put them back together?
Fuck. That would be hot.
I mean, I'm just there are many, many, many who I've heard think Hampton's actually going first round. I know running backs being what they are, it is what is, always a mystery to that, and some think Hampton could go in the 20s, but if he doesn't, he's sitting here 38 to go play with his old quarterback at Carolina. Could, and I know the Patriots need more receivers, but they drafted some last year that they're hoping to develop into something, and they might – maybe they're in the trade market too.
No, you're absolutely right. That's what I'm doing here.
We're going there.
That's a great
Drake May
great
and Marion Hampton back together.
And you know Vrabel's going to love this guy. And I think there's a chance that Marion Hampton goes in the first round of the draft. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't go in that back – I mean, you could see someone trade up for him. I think about the Chargers. Maybe the Chargers go running back instead, and that's what we're thinking for them. They have a need at running back too. But if he were to get here, I mean – Putting Hampton back with Drake May, that would give you a pretty good start as long as you can block for both of them.
Chargers, Minnesota, I think is an option for Ryan Hampton as well. I just think this guy, phenomenal combine as well. And you know Mike Vrabel and what he did with Derrick Henry. Now I'm not saying Ryan Hampton's going to be as good as Derrick Henry, but he wants a dominant running back in that offense.
Physical.
And you know he's going to go to Drake May and go, hey, should we get this guy Ryan Hampton? And you know what Drake's going to say. He's like, dude, that guy fucking rocks. So yeah. I think makes a lot of sense. And I think not only a player that Drake May is going to love having back together with him, I think he's a player that Mike Vrabel is going to love having in that offense as well. So I love that pick. And I think Amari Hampton, this is probably the range where I think Amari Hampton is going to go, if not the back half of the range. I think he might even go higher than 38 on draft night.
Yeah, no, I feel you on that. I think it makes a ton of sense. I think this might be the lower end. We might have put him on the lower end of his range here. Somebody in the back end of round one certainly could take him. That's how good this running back class is. All right, I've got the Bears for a 2 out of 3 here. I got Bears, Saints, and Bears. All right, this is fun. I took Shamar Stewart the first time around defensive line. I need a
Hampton would have been fun if he fell there.
Hampton would have been fun, but I do have options. Interior. I like Tyreek Williams. Darius Alexander sitting there. Is it another?
Maybe Donovan Jackson.
No, because they got two guards now.
Oh, I forgot either.
You've got Tooney and you've got Jonah Jackson.
No, you're right. You're right.
If I'm taking an O lineman, I need a center.
Yeah, you're right.
If Zabel was here, I'd sprint the card in for Zabel.
God, I can't hear what the NFL news right now. It's insane.
What a week we've had so far.
It's impossible to keep up right now. I have a mock draft coming out next Monday. I have no idea what I'm going to do.
I already took an edge player. There's part of me that wonders if you go receiver.
You think? You think with what, Keenan's not going to be there much longer?
Well, Keenan, didn't they cut him? Or they're going to cut him? Or he's a free agent? Isn't Keenan Allen's, I don't think, a part of the team right now? Ellick, you move DJ inside.
Oh, yeah, he's a free agent, right.
He's a free agent.
Yeah, that could be an option.
All right. This is tough because I already took an edge player. I don't think corner is a desperate need. Yeah, I don't have a spot to take a center. Could even be a trade down spot in one of these. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start at running back. I'll still go with running, even though you got Hampton.
You go Junkins here?
I think Ben Johnson would like Judkins.
Yeah.
It's kind of that same, although he ran a better 40 than we thought he would. I think there's a similar, almost David Montgomery type of element, right, where he's kind of the David Montgomery role, where maybe he's not the most dynamic passing down back, but he breaks tackles. Feels like he's the same guy every week, right? He kind of is just the engine of the offense type guy. Let's go with Judkins first, and then I'm going to give myself 5 more seconds to think about it before I make the next one. Saints, I went O-line the first time around.
Kind of like Ellick here. That could make a lot of sense, I think.
I think I'm going D-line.
Darius Alexander?
Yeah, I think I'm leaning there. They're just – the Saints are just so – it's so rough in the trenches. You just can't fix anything, and especially, again, Kellen Moore coming from Philly. I know there's other needs. I know they need weapons, but this team's going to get nothing done until they can fix the trenches. Darius Alexander's been a big-time riser. I don't know that he's going to rise all the way to the first round. Trevor's got him at 23 on the big board. But I think you're talking about a team that desperately needs run defense help on the D-line. Alexander can give him that. I'm going to go the man from Toledo, Darius Alexander, to the Saints. And then
yeah, Alexander's 44 on the consensus board right now. So it feels like this is more the range for him rather than first round.
This Bears one is rough. I want a center, but I can't take like Jared Wilson this early.
I'm sure you can.
I mean, I could. I sure could. But safety, is it a safety need? Who's their DC? It's Dennis Allen.
Man, you get Brisker and Kevin Winston Jr. go all Penn State safety.
Oh, you're dreaming, dude. Oh, man.
They're kind of similar players, too.
Yeah, kind of. Well, this is the part where I was thinking about Xavier Watts.
Oh, I hate that either. You got Brisker and Kevin Byard still there.
Yeah, Brisker's off an injury. Byard's a little older. Corner, Hairston?
You could go Hairston. This is probably the range for Hairston, like if we're being honest.
Corner? How much do they like Stevenson? They were rough down the stretch last year. No, you know what? I'm going to go with my first instinct. Keenan Allen's out. DJ Moore, Roma Dunze are still there. Give me a slot receiver. Give me Xavier Restrepo. That's where I'm going with that.
All right.
We're getting a third weapon. We're going to get what Keenan Allen was supposed to be in this offense. We're going Xavier Restrepo. Might be a little early for some, but, boy, he's really darn good.
Yeah, I don't hate it at all. All right, Jets. Took Tyler Warren already. I'm leaning D-tackle.
I think this is easy. Well, maybe not quite as easy as I think.
What, Tyleek? I know you love Tyleek.
You got options. Tyleek.
TJ Sanders.
I think even other positions. Tyleek, Xavier Watts, Trey Amos.
Yeah, I think all
those guys make sense. I might go Tyleek because I need run defense, but I think any of those guys make sense. Hell, even if you wanted to go receiver, like a Jack Besh, if you wanted.
I might go Hairston, too.
Hairston, you could.
I'm going to go Hairston. He's another guy that is some concerning off-field allegations with him, and again, you got to check that out, but he seems like a guy that's going to go somewhere in the top 40 if that all checks out. So I'm going to go with Maxwell Hairston here as to the Jets as kind of a position of need that they need right now in the at corner, with maybe Deidre Reed not being there too much longer.
Got it. Makes sense. I think actually my pick for the Niners here is easy because I took
Kelvin Banks.
I took Kelvin Banks first. I'm going Tyleek Williams from Ohio State. I need run defense. That's another one. This is the part where now we've been talking about this range where we can get a run of defensive linemen here, especially run defenders. The Niners, they need help on the D-line. They have Nick Bosa as the big pass rusher. They can find the rest there. Robert Saleh is going to need a guy like Tyleek Williams to just stuff the A-gaps on the inside to help out with this run defense, to clear some room for Fred Warner and whoever else at linebacker. Tyleek Williams to the Niners makes a ton of sense to me in that defense especially.
Yeah, love that.
Stole him from Dallas, but that's okay. I got Ted McMillan. Wow, good pick, Dalton. let's see. I think it's the same thing. The question for me with Dallas is, do I go D-tackle or do I go linebacker? I think either of those guys from South Carolina right there at the top are on the board here. I think Demetrius Knight, I mean, that's a really athletic player. That
any thoughts like Trayvon Henderson or some running back, Caleb Johnson?
I think they might wait even further. I think they still got to get better in the trenches. And that'll be a theme. Again, the idea from what they've been saying, I forget it was Jerry Jones or somebody in their organization said it was, to re-sign Dowdle and find a compliment to him. I think you could do that in round 3 or 4. I think I stay in the trenches somewhat here. I think it's Sanders or Knight, and it's a matter of if I want to go. Man, they got problems at linebacker, don't they? Eric Kendricks, a free agent. DeMarvion Overshown may or may not play this year with the knee injury suffer. I think I'm going to go Demetrius Knight.
Okay.
I'm going to go there. I'm going to get the Cowboys a starting linebacker. And look, and again, the theme generally for this offseason is going to be run and stop the run, but I also got Ted McMillan, which I feel good about. Let's get a linebacker. Let's try to get just add something. Basically, add something to this run defense is really the theme there. I will go there with Demetrius Knight at linebacker.
I don't hate that at all. All right, I'm up here with Indy. So I already took Will Johnson to them.
Got options here too. Is it?
I'm looking at edge. I'm looking at safety.
Is it tight end?
I just don't know if I'll take one at 45. Tight end 3. I don't think he's worth 45.
Some would though. Arroyo's sitting there at 58 on Trevor's board.
Yeah, I think that's probably.
If you needed a guy, if you felt like, okay, a receiving tight end is the thing that'll help us, I think I would go edge, or if you really wanted a tight end. Princely makes some sense. There's rumors that
– I got a Jack Sawyer, too.
Rumors – oh, that's a good call, too. I almost forgot about Jack Sawyer.
I know. That's why I'm looking at him just like
– who would Anarumo like? Oh, well, there's been some Jack Sawyer, Sam Hubbard comps thrown out there, haven't there?
That's what I'm looking at right now. Ooh. I'm gonna go Jack Sawyer. Okay. I still love Jack Sawyer. I still have him. I know the arm length isn't great, and the numbers, the testing number, is athleticism isn't great, but I just think he's a damn good football player as a run defender and pass rusher. So I think Indianapolis at 45, they need help at edge, and I know they really need help at tight ends. Well, I just don't think I would take a tight end at 45 outside of Loveland and Warren, obviously. So I think that Jack Sawyer. I was thinking about Xavier Watts too, just doubling up on DB, but I think Jack Sawyer adding more to that defense makes a lot of sense to me.
Reasonable. Very reasonable. So what you got? You have, for the Colts, did you get Barron? No, you got Will Johnson earlier.
Will Johnson, Jack Sawyer, the Michigan Ohio State guys. Yeah.
Oh, of course you did. You just had to keep them together, didn't you? All right, I actually, there's a guy who had a great combine, who I'm thinking about for the Falcons here, because I went James Pierce Jr. first. I'm going to stay on the defensive side. I'm going to go in the secondary. I'm going to go with a guy who had the second best zone coverage grade this year in the country behind Jahdae Barron. Give me Darian Porter from Iowa State to the Atlanta Falcons.
Unreal combine, too. Unreal combine.
Unreal combine. A.J. Terrell, Darian Porter outside, James Pierce Jr. heading up the pass rush down low. Michael Penix Jr. on the offensive side leading that thing. Maybe somewhere in the third round we get another complimentary receiver for London and Odunze. But I think Darian Porter is someone the Falcons would really like if he got to them in this spot.
I love that. He was, 6'3", and he ran like a 4.3 40-yard dash. He is an outrageous athlete at that size. So, yeah, Darian Porter, I thought, has really moved up boards. And as a press corner, I mean, he's got the length to press receivers at the line of scrimmage and the speed to keep up with him down the field as well. I mean, he's made a lot of money at the combine, I thought. So, yeah, Darian Porter's a fun pick there. So, you're up again with the Cardinals here at 47. See what Donnie wants to do at 47. But
I'm looking at a depth chart thing real quick. But let's get Donnie's opinion.
I think he wants Trey Amos. I think that's what he's saying.
Trey Amos. Well, I already went with Barron, didn't I?
Oh, right. He might have been saying that for the Falcons. Never mind.
For the Falcons.
Yeah.
Not just Porter. That zone coverage thing gets me. I love that. You know someone I'm really thinking about here because they've got free agents left and right on the offensive line for Arizona. I think this is going to be my Donovan Jackson spot.
Oh, you son of a bitch. God. Oh. I was going with Miami next pick.
I'm going with it now. Donovan Jackson to Arizona. God, lock it in, just to piss off Max. Gotta love it. Oh. I love when that happens. See that,
dude? I was gonna run that card in.
You had it. You had your mouse ready to go, didn't you? Oh man,
damn
yeah.
it.
Yeah, think of something else. That's your problem.
Okay, I actually have an idea what I'm gonna do here. That's what I was gonna do. Oh man, that would have been fun.
You took Starks already. So all right, what do you got?
Fucking Donnie actually said I would love Donovan Jackson or T.J. Sanders, and he goes, suck it, Max. So
yeah, see exactly.
I just
like Jackson, man. He's just feels like a solid starter, doesn't he?
Do you know what? And, you know, he plays guard. I think we both agree he's a guard. I've seen a lot of takes on Twitter from some guys I really respect as draft analysts on that think he might be able to play tackle for how good his tape was. I don't think he should.
I'm going to leave him at guard. I don't think he's got the feet to play tackle. If you needed it badly in an emergency situation, cool. Also, former teammate of Paris Johnson, of course.
That's what Drake said in the chat. Drake said Donovan Jackson next to Paris Johnson is elite. Yeah, I love that.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going with it. He could play tackle in a pinch. I would not do that in the end. I don't think he's got the feet to do that, to stay at tackle. If they had to do it for a game or two, cool. But I wouldn't do it for any longer than say Ohio State did it in the playoff run.
Yep.
So either way. Stole your guy. What are you doing?
You stole my guy. I have a good backup plan, though, here. I'm going to go with Arianti Urseri to the Miami Dolphins. I think with the news of Teron Armstead potentially retiring, sounds like he probably is going to retire at this point. I mean, offensive line is already a glaring need. Even with Teron Armstead, it's even bigger of a need without him. So I took Malachi Starks in the first round. I think Miami Dolphins fans would riot in the streets if they didn't come out of the first two rounds with an offensive lineman. And I think Arianti Urseri could really do well in a zone blocking scheme as well. He's got the athleticism to do it. He's got the movement ability to do it. I think Arianti Urseri would fit the scheme, and he is a guy that you desperately need in Miami. So
I like
it. Urseri here.
I like it. You've got Cincinnati. There is a player I absolutely want you to take for the sake of
that is Eli's call.
That's right. I forgot it was Eli. I forgot you're the GM of the Bengals today. My bad.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's pretty easy. We went with Walter Nolan. I think they would take, and a guy that I really like, but I don't know if he's a great fit. The guy I think they would like is Xavier Watts.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I think safety help is huge for them. They need that. Jordan Battle, I think, can get better this year. I think he'd be kind of a guy that could go into kind of a cover three look when you have Geno Stone, you'd have Xavier Watts and Jordan Battle there, sometimes coming down in the box. But a guy that I probably wouldn't pick, but I would love is Princely. I think Ooh. Princely would be an awesome fit, especially seeing Hubbard gone now. He's a guy who, I'm not going to say is the opposite of Hubbard, but Hubbard towards the end with the injuries was really not a pass rusher. He was basically a great run defender, and that was much of it. I mean, he's got the kind of build that the Bengals look for, kind of 6'4", 6'5", big body. He would be a guy that I would love here, but I am going to go Xavier Watts, also with the golden pick. I think the most realistic, I think, in the fourth round or third now with his podium and everything. I think Kaiser's like written in Sharpie to the Bengals almost in those two rounds, but I'll go with Xavier Watts here.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. That was the guy you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, I would have thought Watts there as well. Princely's a great call. I think even if you're trying to replace the run defense, I think Landon Jackson would be another option there too. I think that's something that's going to come up. Even if and when they do extend Trey Hendrickson, that's going to be a story of, okay, what else is on the edge there? Because it's still just Trey Hendrickson. So I think that's a couple of really good callouts there. I just think that Watts Al Golden thing is something we're certainly playing off of.
Was it Kaiser that said that? You know,
Kaiser had asked Golden, talking about, hey, are you guys in the Bengals? Are you going to interview me? Are we going to go through the whole thing? Kind of half joking around, and Golden was just like, yeah, no, we know you already. I know enough about you.
I only have so many of these visits, man. I got to take advantage. Yeah, I don't need to waste them.
Another folder on you. Yeah, no, but I mean, no, that's certainly that will certainly be anybody. I think the two guys I think about are Al Golden with the Bengals and Chip Kelly with the Raiders.
That's right.
How much does some of that influence play into that coming up and working with these guys on a personal level already? All right, Seattle. I have Seattle at 50 here.
You took Jahad Campbell.
I took Jahad Campbell. I stole Donovan Jackson from myself earlier because this team so badly needs
him. Oh, he would not have been there if you didn't take him. So
that's true, too. I still don't have interior. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. Well, Tyler Lockett just got cut. DK Metcalf just asked for a trade.
That is a sneaky. I forgot about that too.
All of a sudden, Seattle, we've got offensive and defensive line and everything listed as needs for Seattle, but all of a sudden it's receiver also.
Yeah.
Now you don't need a guy in the slot because Smith and Jigba is one of the best in the business. Let's keep this guy out west. Let's go Elikai Maynard to Seattle. Yeah, because you know what? All of a sudden, Geno Smith is going to need weapons because if they trade Metcalf, and again, maybe this could be. I think something not talked about enough, that could be an option at 18, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you talk about maybe earlier, could I have taken Emeka Abuka or Luther Burden or what have you, right? I mean, I think this is going to be something that hangs over them. All of a sudden, DK Metcalf's one of the big stories of the offseason. So let's go Elikai Maynard there to Seattle. And then Tampa Bay, which I took Jalen Walker the first time, the hybrid whatever he is player.
Real quick, Drake Holiday asked, do you like Elikai Maynard over Jaden Higgins? I think I probably do.
I think so, but it's not as far apart as I thought.
No, it's very close.
I think I had, in our receiver rankings, I think I had like Elik 7 and Jaden 9.
Yeah.
It's close.
I feel more sure about Jaden. Elik is a little different because the Stanford quarterback situation was so abysmal. There's almost like, and he was still good. And it's like, okay, what can he look like with an actual competent quarterback? That's the I think. Jaden's combine was a lot better than I thought it was going to be, though.
There are flashes in Ia Maynard's tape that I'm like, that's got a Michael Thomas vibe to it, right? And if that's the type – well, now, Michael Thomas' first 4 years in the league were among the best there were. It's just injuries. It would be close. Would it shock me if it was Jaden Higgins there instead? Not at all.
Elite combine, too.
There are probably teams that would take Higgins over Ia Maynard. I'm not going to complain. I think they're very close. I'll go with Ia Maynard as really – you know, like him a lot through an abysmal situation at Stanford and a very good player as well. We'll keep Mount West there with Seattle. And then Tampa, I took Jalen Walker first. Edge player Princely here, pass rusher again. No,
maybe Trey Amos
might be a thing. I think Trey Amos is a thing. I think Trevor, didn't Trevor have Amos kind of sort of comp to Zion McCollum?
Yeah. Well, and I Azaria Thomas, look at the consensus board, he's higher on the consensus board. I don't know if he fits that Bulls defense as well though, right?
It depends what he's trying to do week to week.
Yeah. it changes a lot. I know they don't run that much press coverage.
I'll go with Trey.
I like Amos. I'll go with Trey there.
I think it's going to be tight between the two. I feel like Azaria hasn't exactly blown away the pre-draft process. He may go somewhere in that range. It could be him instead, but I'll go with Trey Amos there. You've got
Denver.
You've got three in a row here. Go ahead.
Ooh. Man, Xavier Watts has been fun for Denver.
Are there any linebackers you like? Is there any linebackers in this range?
I don't know.
Not really. Unless you're reaching a little maybe for Chris Paul.
Or Schwesinger.
Oh. I think that's where I'd go.
Schwesinger?
I think so. The linebacker's the one real weakness on their defense. I don't think they're that. They're not that bad at safety. Maybe they could use a depth piece, but they need linebackers far more than they need.
Yeah,
they unless need you went tight end bad. Here and you doubled up on the offense. If you went with an Arroyo or Mason Taylor or something like that.
I was going to –
because I don't think Ferguson – you're not going to do Ferguson at 52, I don't think. If it was a third round
pick. No. It sounds like it's going to be Arroyo. Arroyo seems to be tight end three for most people. So
I think your two picks here, considering you already have Burden in your back pocket, it's Arroyo on offense or Schlesinger on defense.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now.
I think he would start immediately for them.
Yeah, I'll probably go Carson Schlesinger to the Denver Broncos. You're right. They need linebackers really bad. So – yeah, and they already added Luther Burden. He's not tight end, obviously, but they already added like a pass catcher they needed in that offense, and like helping out that defense and at second level is really paramount for them. So I'm gonna go Carson Schlesinger to the Denver Broncos. All right, I have the Pittsburgh Steelers up again. Took Matthew Golden in the first round.
Well, you need a corner, but we've kind of sniped. Unless this is Azariah.
Do I do it?
This is Azariah. You said you're talking about press man coverage,
yeah.
Cover one ish type thing. This could be Azariah time.
I was looking at Azariah, but is this Jalen Morrow?
No, I don't think they're going to do it.
I don't think so either.
If I was making a prediction right this minute, I do think
Morrow goes somewhere in the second round.
I don't.
I think it does.
I think
there are more teams that are. Dude, from what I heard in Indy, I think there are a lot of teams that are in on him as like a developmental guy in the second round.
Well, then I.
This is the tough part.
I don't know. That feels like smoke to me. That feels like playing up the class.
It might.
If it was me here,
I'd like Azariah.
I'm taking Azariah Thomas. I'm running with it because I think they're week one starters. I think right now it's going to be Justin Fields.
Yeah, but if Fields doesn't work, you're kind of on the same offense with. I'm gonna go Milrow. I'm doing Milrow. I do think he's going the first. I would not take him here, and I don't think he's worth a second round pick. But I think there's gonna be a team that takes him in the second round. I think Pittsburgh could be one of them. So I'm going Jalen Milrow. I don't love it. It's a serious. I do
well,
not love it.
You've slid down on that because there was at one point you were taking him in the back end of the first.
Yeah, I do think they're in. I do think they like him though. It's hot, but I think Milrow goes. I think there are four quarterbacks that go in the first and second round, and I think Milrow and Dart are going in the second round. So I'm taking Milrow here.
Okay.
I don't love it. I do not love it, but I think it's if in a predictive mock draft, I think it's probably going to happen. So
okay. All right.
Oh, I'm up again. Los Angeles. I took Colson Loveland in the first round. We'll really love an edge rusher here in the second round.
Edge.
I'm going to go.
Can I throw one out there for you? Even a D tackle. Keep in mind, they're interior guys, free agents too. Puna Ford, Taylor Tart, right? How much do we think? You would think Jim Harbaugh. How much do you think he'd like Alfred Collins?
He could. I don't know if he'll go that high. Is a problem. I think there are edges that are going to go higher.
Landon.
I was looking at Landon. Landon or Princely are the two I'm looking at. And Harbaugh obviously values run defense a lot. I'll go with Landon. Although they run a 3-4, right? I think that fits Princely a little
Minter.
More than Landon.
Yeah, I mean they mix it up a little bit. I think with Landon, with as big as he is, I don't know that it matters too much either way. I think you're going to get a good run defender regardless.
And if Jim Harbaugh values, I'll go Landon Jackson. Okay. I think this is probably the range he's gonna go. So I'm gonna go Landon Jackson. He'll probably be a top 50 pick in the draft, and I think he'll. This would be a guy that Jim Harbaugh really likes. And especially with the news of Joey Bosa getting released. And Khalil Mack's obviously getting up there in age as well. I think they need to, you know, find more. I know they got Tuli Tulipulotu at edge rusher as well, but I think Landon Jackson could help out in that edge room. So I'll go Landon Jackson.
I had Mykel Williams for the Packers. Corner, is it Azariah Thomas?
Could be. Jair Alexander might not be there anymore.
Jeff Hafley defense.
They did play a lot of zone last year, though.
Yeah, I think that might have been some out of necessity. They're above average aggressive with that. I'm sure they want to be more.
At Boston College, they were like the heaviest man team in the country.
Yeah.
So this fits Azariah Thomas.
Is it that or is it a receiver? Is it Besh or is it Higgins?
All right, because you took my
call. Could it be a receiver?
Could be a receiver. I think Azariah Thomas probably makes the most sense to me, at least. But I think
yeah, Let's go there. Let's go with Azarie. I mean, if we're going to trade Jair Alexander, we're really left very, very thin at corner, and I didn't go corner in the first round. So now we've got edge and corner dealt with. You know, for as much has been made about the Packers needing a number one receiver, they do have at least, like, reasonable options. I mean, they still have guys there. There's Jaden Reed, there's Romeo Doubs, right? There's Dontavian Wicks, who's on a bad year. But, I mean, it's not like it's the most desperate need on the planet. They do need a top-level guy, but I don't know that taking a Jack Besh over something of actual need would make sense, because Besh feels like he would kind of fit in with that group, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, Thomas to Green Bay makes sense to me.
Okay. I'm looking D-line here. I'm thinking about Alfred Collins for Buffalo, also receiver.
I think TJ Sanders makes some sense too.
Sanders does make some sense. I think, let me look. I think I'm gonna go Alfred Collins. I think he's probably gonna be a pick that Buffalo will be interested in here. I'll go with Alfred Collins here. Now, I was thinking receiver too, and on the consensus board at least, Trey Harris is pretty high. But the problem is, like, are you adding another bigger guy who doesn't separate as well, just like Keon Coleman? Like, that's just – it's very redundant, and I don't love that fit in Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think Coleman, obviously, they knew he was going to take some development. But, yeah, that's the one thing is, like, if you're going to go receiver to the Bills, what type of guy are we talking?
Yeah.
Right? If, especially kind of like the Packers thing. If it's not someone way over the top, then it's got to be – you know, somebody who adds something different, and they've got a lot of diverse weapons. So let me see this again. You went with which
Alfred Collins.
Alfred Collins. I love Alfred Collins. What a player. Good player. All right, Houston.
Up again. Damn.
Ibuka. I think this is easy. You got Ibuka.
What's the interior
already.
Line look at?
I would just let it fly with TJ Sanders right here. They need interior D line too.
They do need interior D-line.
I think TJ and their defense with the four-man front, the way they run it and the way South Carolina ran theirs, I think they might be actually pretty thrilled if they got TJ Sanders here. They need to spend – realistically, they're, with the way it's shaking out, if they don't get something at 25 for interior offensive line, it's going to have to be a situation where they spent money in free agency on it.
Yeah.
Or at round three, which we're not expecting.
The other guy
to,
who's pretty – look at a consensus board, just in a predicted mock draft, I think Jonas Avainea is going to go pretty in the second round. So that was what I was looking at. I don't love it. I would not do that.
It's not my favorite. I don't know that I would take him this early. I think he's a third-round pick.
I'd rather take Wyatt Milan than him.
I would go TJ Sanders here. I'd go D-line. I would go that route. You got a receiver. There's still another round or two where there's – interior offensive lineman. I think there's a chance they could get Savainea in the third round. That's just me, though. We can do a seven rounder one episode, right, Eli?
I'm gonna go with TJ Sanders. I think it's, yeah, I'm just looking at the interior line class. It's probably a guy they can get in third, fourth round. All right, you're up with Carolina.
All right, I got Mason Graham. I like that. Higgins. I don't think Higgins is the type of receiver that I would think about here. I think, you know, I might just double up on it. I think it's Princely.
Yeah.
I think it's Princely. Let's just keep it rolling. Let's keep it rolling. Princely, Panthers, defensive line. We've talked about it plenty. Worst defense in football last year. Keep adding to it. I got an all-around defensive tackle in Mason Graham. I got a pass rusher off the edge in Princely. I've got Derek Brown coming back. I think I have Clowney for one more year under contract. I start to like that Carolina defensive line a lot more if I get two players like that back-to-back. I'll go there.
Yeah, I like that. All right, Baltimore up here.
You went Mike Green the first time.
Yeah, Mike Green. I'm thinking about – that's be interesting.
Ooh, is this a Jaden Higgins?
Could be Jaden Higgins.
Big player with size that they don't necessarily have. You already took an edge player.
Yeah, I'm thinking about – yeah, I'm probably going to go.
Is it a – let me think
corner,
about this.
I'm looking, nah, the corner class actually dried out pretty quick.
It's another one where guard might help you.
Yeah, I just don't know if I would take – I probably would go just start scoring.
And you're in kind of a best player available sort of situation here, aren't you?
Yeah, and I might – Higgins is definitely an option. I look at I just wonder if Trey Harris is going to go in the second round as a problem.
Kevin Winston? This could be an
obvious spot. I love Kevin Winston Jr. I think I'm going to go. What did you test at? Yeah, I'll probably go with.
You think Trey Harris?
I might go with Trey Harris. I don't love it. I would not take Trey Harris as high. I think he's going to go in the second round, though. So I think that this is probably a spot that he might go. So I think Trey Harris makes some sense to Baltimore. I'll go Trey Harris here at 59. Again, I would not take him in the second round, but in a predicted mock draft, I think he will be a second-round pick.
Okay. Lions. I got Ezeraku. I got an edge player already. I wouldn't hate another receiver. We've got Jameson, St. Brown. Would the Lions dare take him? Interior offensive line's kind of dried up. Corner's kind of dried up. Linebacker. Are there any other linebackers I would take, like, think about taking here? Chris Paul, I think, was the next one on the board. I might wait one more round for that. See, I think between the two guys that are on the board, I'm spitballing here. If the Lions were going to take a receiver, I think Besh and St. Brown are kind of similar, even though I think Campbell would really like him. I think this might be a spot with Jaden Higgins.
I like that.
I think let's get Jaden Higgins, because I've always thought about, okay, I got a speed weapon in Williams. I've got this all-around power slot funky weapon in St. Brown. Obviously, I have Laporta and the two backs and everything else, but now I get somebody in there. When's the last time they had somebody in there who was 6'4 and could do those things? What, Calvin?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think adding that
true. Is that your comp for Jaden Higgins, Kyle Johnson?
No. we don't just go comping people to Calvin. You wait till 2027 when we can comp people to Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
We don't just throw that around there. Come on now. I think I'll go Jaden Higgins to the Lions. Take him at 60. Get another intermediate receiver who can win one-on-one, and now we've got three receiving threats plus Laporta plus the two backs. I mean, even without Ben Johnson, how are you stopping them? I mean, they're going to put up 30 points a game again with that.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
I've got Washington. Oh, I've got Washington. Okay.
What about JTT? You took Josh Simmons in the first round. You go back-to-back Ohio State?
Just keep practicing against each other? Let's see. They got Deebo Samuel.
I feel like in a predicted mock draft, I feel like JT would be the next edge off the board. I don't think anyone else that's available would go over him. Like Kyle Kennard probably wouldn't go over him. Yeah, I think JT would be the next edge.
JT, Simmons, corners are dry. Jared Ivey's pretty good too. I like him. Any thoughts on a running back here? Travion?
Could. I think he's going in the second round too, so.
I wouldn't hate a little speed in their backfield or just on their offense in general other than McLaurin.
Yeah.
It probably makes sense, though. They need help on the edge if it's not going to be Myles Garrett. Yeah, I'll go with Tua Moloau. We'll do that. Get a pass rusher. Plays a little high and low. Could end up being eventually better than that draft slot, but it's just a matter of consistency more than physical talent. You could argue he's got, what, top five actual edge rusher talent in this class. It just doesn't show up week to week. I think if Dan Quinn could get it out of him, he'd get a really good player. They have needs off the edge. They have needs in both trenches and at corner. And I wouldn't hate him with one more weapon, but that D-line really needs some work. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. Tua Moloau.
Okay. Man, I'm looking at Jack Besh, but how does he work with Khalil Shakir is my question.
Eamon Worry Collins, edge player. Jared Ivey's in between.
Yeah, I don't think I'll take an edge here.
It's not a running back.
I might go Jack Besh.
I mean, it's another weapon, that's for sure.
It's just another weapon. I mean, I don't love the fit with Shakir.
I mean,
he did play on the outside for TCU, I know.
Yeah, but. I mean, it's not. Besh is a versatile weapon. I mean, Besh, Coleman, Shakir. I don't hate that, especially if you're going to get the value out of it like you do with him.
Yeah, I think this is probably around where he's going to go.
It's either you're going to either do that or you're going to take another defensive player.
Yeah.
Which I'm all in favor of.
I don't know if they'll go three in a row, but I'll go with Jack Besh here.
Okay. Jack Besh to the Bills.
I'll begin with the Kansas City. And they took Josh Connerly, D-line, linebacker.
Norman Lott? Omar Norman Lott?
Maybe. I'm just trying to look at...
Shamar Turner? I would think about running back here, too. I don't think that's being said enough.
That could be hot.
Explosive. If I'm thinking explosive plays, and I'm thinking about a compliment to Pacheco, who did have some injuries this year. I mean, they were using Kareem Hunt for a lot of the year, right? The Chiefs aren't explosive enough. I might think about Travion Henderson.
Yeah. I think.
Well, we didn't get Caleb Johnson.
I'm going to go Omar Norman Lott. I'm going
to
do that.
Norman Lott to the Chiefs. Okay.
Get him next to Chris Jones. Develop more as a pass rusher. Has some nice juice on the interior. I think Omar Norman Lott would be a fun pick for Kansas City.
And then I'm going with one more player for the Eagles. As always, they're stealing trench players. Back seven's good. Linebacker, they re-signed Bond. You know, some of this...
Kennard?
Something about Jared Ivey I really like. I think that versatility and that ability for Vic Fangio and his defense to kind of mess around, and for Ivey, maybe as big as he is, what is he, sit around 290?
Yeah.
To be a player, especially on early downs, that could get into any front, because there's times when Fangio will go 5D linemen, there's times where he'll go 4D linemen, sometimes he'll even throw six guys out there. I think Jared Ivey might be a guy that they like, that just is versatile, is strong, can do a little bit of everything. I'm going to go Jared Ivey.
Love it. All right, Jared Ivey rounding out the mock draft. I'm not going to go over all the picks. It's obviously just way too many picks to go over. But that wraps up our two-round mock draft. You can see the first round right there. And you can, of course, do your own mock draft at pff.com/mock. You can do full two rounds, three rounds, seven rounds for your favorite team, all 32 NFL teams you want, all available at pff.com. Got many more videos coming out surrounding the 2025 NFL draft and, of course, college football as well here on the PFF College Football Show. So make sure you subscribe to the channel so you don't miss any of those videos leading up to the draft and, of course, the 2025 college football season. For producer Eli back there, for Dalton Wassman, I'm Max Chadwick. We'll see you guys next time.